The Holy Gospel is found in St. Matthew, chapter 15. God's church and God's grace are meant for all people. Jesus left that place and withdrew into the region of Tyre and Sidon. There, a Canaanite woman from that territory came and kept crying out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. A demon is severely tormenting my daughter." But he did not answer her a word. His disciples came and pleaded, "Send her away because she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt in front of him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered her, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to their little dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "yet their little dogs also eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, your faith is great. It will be done for you just as you desire." And her daughter was healed at that very hour. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Word of God for our meditation is St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 13 to 22, read before. I won't read it all again, but I'll refer to many parts of it as the sermon progresses today. If you were looking for a church, what kind of church would you be looking for? You could give a lot of answers. Most of you here are probably Lutheran, so you'd be looking for a Lutheran church that teaches Lutheran doctrine. Would you be looking for a church that is casual, where you could wear shorts and flip-flops? Or would you prefer a church where everybody dressed up, men in coats and ties, and the ladies in dresses and hats? Or maybe somewhere in the middle. Would you like to have a church that focused only on worship and Bible study for all ages? Or would you rather have a church that has all kinds of different activities for people of all kinds of different ages and life situations? Would you like to have a church that used primarily, or maybe even only, the organ for worship accompaniment? Or would you rather have a praise band up front with guitar and drum set and bass? Would you rather have a church that had all people that are pretty much just like you? Or would you rather have something else? Well, let's put aside what we would want and what I might want in a church. Yeah, I did years ago. I had the opportunity to try to design churches the way I thought was best because I was on the mission board in the Arizona-California district. So when we started missions, we had to put some plans down on paper saying, this is the kind of church that we want to be in this area. These are the programs, these are the things that we want to budget for. This is the kind of church we want to be. This is the kind of mission pastor that we want to be in it. These are the programs that we think God might bless. But if we lose sight of the kind of church that God wants us to be, then what good is any of that planning? What good is any of the opinions that you and I have if they don't match God's expressed will for His church? We get a really good idea of the kind of church that God wants us to be as we read Ephesians chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. It says He made the two groups one by destroying the wall of hostility that divided them. In verse 16, it says, He did this to reconcile both to God in one body through the cross by putting the hostility to death on it. The kind of church that God wants, the kind of church that God wants us to be, is a church that is not divided by any kind of racial or ethnic or socioeconomic level or status. He wants a church that is truly unified, a church that is one in Him. There were several times throughout history that the church was entirely and completely unified on earth. When God first made Adam and Eve, they were both united in the one faith. Before they fell into sin, they worshiped God perfectly. They had all perfect inclinations. After they fell into sin, they both trusted in God's promise that I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, but you will crush his heel. I mixed those pronouns around. You will crush his head. He will crush your heel, speaking to Satan. The word of God was proclaimed to the children of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. And at least for a while, they both believed, but Cain rebelled and murdered his brother. The unity of the church was shattered by sin, and God drove Cain away from the settlement of the righteous. A few generations later, we find the situation where Noah and his wife, their three sons and those sons' wives, eight in all, were the only believers on earth. We don't know how many other human beings there were at the time, but only eight who trusted the promise of God. And God destroyed the whole world except for those eight by saving them with water, saving them on the ark. And as they went along after the flood was done and Noah and his sons and daughters-in-law had descendants, then they also had the Word of God all together for a while, but then they rebelled against the Word of God and built a tower. They said, we're going to make a name for ourselves. We don't want to do what God said for us to do and fill the earth and make believers and worshipers of God all over the planet. Let us just stay here on this plane. We'll build this tower and make a name for ourselves to reach up to the heavens. But God was not satisfied with man's plan. God confused their language. He confounded their languages, and they separated and went to all the parts of the world. By the time that we get to Abraham, it doesn't seem like there's very many human beings worshiping God at all again, because God rescued Abraham from idolatry and paganism in the land where he was living and made him the patriarch over the Hebrew people. The Word of God seems almost always to affect a relatively small number of people, doesn't it? When Jesus was teaching, he said, when the Son of Man comes again in glory, will he find faith on the earth? He predicted that toward the end there would be a time when, because of the increasing wickedness on earth, the love of most, he's speaking to his disciples there, the love of most will grow cold. When I was planning for a mission in California, it was never part of my plan for that mission church to remain small. We always wanted that mission church to grow, and eventually to become self-supporting, and eventually even to plant other churches with their influence and with their resources so that the Word of God could continue to spread. If I was designing a church, it would be a really big church. My focus, if I just look for a bigness, my focus would be wrong. The Apostle Paul celebrates the fact that the Jewish people and the Gentiles living in Ephesus were unified as one church. But just the diversity of the church was not the goal, and it was not the foundation of the church. The Apostle Paul said that the foundation of the church is the apostles and the prophets. And what he means is the Word of God, that God, the Holy Spirit, inspired the apostles and prophets to record. God says that Christ Jesus himself needs to be the cornerstone. If there's any other foundation, if there is any other focus, it does not reflect God's will. This has to be first. Sometimes we may get all caught up in diversity and seeking diversity only for diversity's sake. And diversity is a wonderful thing. In fact, that's why God made human beings diverse. For the same reason he made so many different kinds of birds and so many different colors of butterflies, because God loves diversity. But God wants us to be focused on the Word, and he wants us to focus on Christ. He wants us to have our foundation on Jesus and his blood and his forgiveness for all of our sins. Sometimes we're on the other extreme. Unfortunately, there is still a whole lot of racism in our country. Sometimes there is racism in our churches. Sometimes there is racism probably in all of our hearts. And for that too, we need to repent. Seek God's forgiveness. How dare I be prejudiced against other human beings that God loves? Who am I to take that on myself? When we get to heaven, we're going to find that what the Holy Spirit inspired St. John to write about in Revelation is true. Gathered around the throne, worshiping the Lamb who was slain and glorifying our Father in heaven, there will be people from every nation, tribe, language. There will be people from all over the globe, people who look and act and speak much differently than we do, because they're people that Jesus died for on the cross, people that Jesus made the promise of everlasting life to, people that he guaranteed eternal life to with his resurrection from the dead, people that he has sent the Holy Spirit to through word and sacrament in order to bring them into one church, one body, one holy temple built on the foundation of God's Word with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. In many ways, I rejoice to live in this age in which we do. It is a wonderful time to be in our church body. I'm going to share just a couple of wonderful examples of how God is making this happen, what is expressed in Ephesians chapter 2. God is helping this to happen in our midst, in our church body, in some amazing ways. You know, God is bringing people from every nation on earth to the United States. Why is God doing that? Well, one of the reasons is because this brings them into contact with gospel teaching and gospel preaching churches like ours. The Hmong people, since the 1980s, have been a willing audience for the gospel, and we have had the privilege to share the word of God with them as they come from Southeast Asia. They hear the word of God in the Twin Cities, in Kansas City, in Fresno, California, and even places like Anchorage, Alaska. My brother Nathan serves at Faith Lutheran Church in Anchorage, Alaska, and you would not have guessed that they have every Sunday English, Spanish, and Hmong worship services. Now, in addition to that, they also have refugees from Africa who have come to worship at Faith in Anchorage. And one in particular who came from Sudan and became a member of their church, he asked whether our synod would be able to help his family because they live in a war-torn country of Sudan. They live in a village that had been overrun by both warring parties again and again. They did not have safety or security or even the basic necessities of life. Can you help? Christian Aid and Relief, through offerings provided by people like us, was able to hire a number of flatbed semi-trucks and trailers and evacuated this man's family from South Sudan out of the war-torn area to a refugee camp where they were guaranteed safety and protection. It turns out that this man's family numbered almost 500 people, all of the residents of his village. Praise the Lord that they are now safe and they are now able to hear the word of God, which is being shared with them. Just last weekend, in the other King of Kings of Orange County, which is King of Kings in Orange County, California, Garden Grove, there was a trilingual installation service as a Spanish-speaking pastor and a Vietnamese pastor were both installed as missionaries to work together with Pastor Brian Dobler. They will now have services every Sunday in English, Spanish, and Vietnamese and are able, under God's blessing, to effectively reach into the very sizable Vietnamese population of Orange County, California. God brings these opportunities to us because He loves all people, and He wants us to reach out to and support ministry to all people. What a marvelous God we serve who loves us all. And we have this gospel message that we can share. What kind of a church do we want to be? I pray that we seek to be the kind of church that is not only welcoming to all, but that we will do what Jesus told us to do in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, when He said, not only stay and wait for them to come, but He says, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. May God give us that zeal. Amen.